this cave on YouTube. Like, you know, it's quite funny.
What is it?
Well, like, there's an ad for bras on.
Oi, oi, lads, this is the 12th Man Podcast. We're back with a great week of 12th Man Podcast banter. Declan Maron over there.
Right.
Ruth Open over there.
Hello.
12th Man Podcast.
It's completely irrelevant because no one heard our discussion beforehand.
Doesn't matter. The 12th Man Podcast at hotmail.com and at 12th Man Podcast on Twitter. Get on the Facebook page as well, the 12th Man Podcast. Google it, get on there.
A bit of happening over there.
Yeah, it's pictures and goals.
Steve Keane is currently locked in a battle with a cyber shark. Well, I'm not sure if it uploaded, but it should be up there somewhere.
It should be up there. It'll be up later.
We'd love to hear your responses, actually, as to who would win between Steve Keane and a Yu-Gi-Oh! Cyber Shark card. Get in. Get
what
your
else is there? Lars Ricken's goal.
Oh, yeah.
The Champions League final in 97. Yeah. Dortmund, you know, they're on course.
One you consider to be, until last night, the best moment in Dortmund's European history?
Yeah, I think
history,
we all had a little bit of an argument with that.
I still remain convinced that it is still the best moment in Dortmund's European history.
Probably
they
is.
They won it.
You wanted to start a debate.
Yeah, I wanted to. You know, they absolutely won. We get on to that. Let's not get into pedantics here. You know?
There is also that fantastic Benfica goal from last week against Sporting, but it's been taken down, so we'll have to find another. The only other version has black keys in the background, so I don't know if we can.
Don't know if we really want that.
It'll just get taken down eventually for double copyright.
So many copyrights.
So this goal got taken down for copyright infringement. What if we put a copyrighted song on top of the video?
Copyrighted squared
goal.
Two wrongs make a right, don't they?
There exactly. You go.
Anyway, look, that's
Joey Barton's logic.
It's fire ahead. Manchester United won the league. We all know that. It's been done with us. We know it's been coming for a while, though. But Alex Ferguson might have been on the champagne a bit early. Because after the match, he said that Phil Jones could be Manchester United's greatest ever player in the future. But I want to know, who has been United's greatest ever player in their history? Got to throw it to Declan Maron.
Okay. I just want to say, I did really enjoy that press conference with Ferguson because he let loose a lot of it, didn't he?
I think it's that once a year when he goes...
As you said, if he's had a bit of a liquid... an early liquid lunch.
Breakfast.
He deserves it, I suppose. But it was not just... He was very calm and relaxed and, was enjoying talking to the press, which he never does. He's usually, ready to shout at Shreves or something like that. But he was quite placid and, you know, just happy. But anyway, yes, best ever player. I wanted to say, as a former left fullback, I wanted to say Dennis Irwin, because I loved him and I think he was massively underrated. But I don't think he's their best ever player. So
he got for Quint the Fortune.
No, I'm going to chip in with, of course, Roy Keane. Not sure if anyone made as big an impact on a team. You would still consider the team that he was central to the best United team ever. Mm-hmm. A lot of people argue that it wasn't, but I still think it is. And I think he was
the 99 team,
such a huge part of that team. He was just absolutely fantastic, you know. Mm. There's not a lot of players that are like him still around now.
No, there's not.
You know, there's players that pretend to be that kind of midfielder.
Joey Barton, Caramol.
Caramol is the type of player, you know, that you know, there's a few of those around that are like, oh yeah, they're tough tackling, but it's like, yeah, but they don't.
But Roy Keane was so much more than tough tackling.
Yeah.
He was pretty graceful as well.
He scored 50-something goals.
He was an all-arounder as well. He could get up the pitch, he was good at passing, but he was a great motivator as well.
Mm. I know it's a bit of an obvious choice, but I mean, you can't argue. He's just
the obvious choices. They're the great.
Yeah, exactly. He was just such a fantastic player, and a great villain to have if you were a Liverpool fan. Mm. The way, you know, Suarez is vilified, I vilified Keane, and then
when he played for Ireland.
Then yeah, he played for Ireland. I was like, we need him.
He's great at the moment. I remember the goal he scored against Juventus.
That performance.
That was brilliant in that match. It was the captain's goal, as they said. He just popped up, headed it into the far corner. It was just brilliant. And got them there at the final. No, he missed the final, obviously, because he was suspended, but he did such a good job to get them there. And that season, when all these players just culminated, that was probably, you know, it's great to have a team to win that treble, because it's just so hard to see. Look at, they didn't win.
Just mentioned David May in passing.
They didn't win the Champions. They're not going to win. They obviously didn't get into the Champions League final this year, or they won't be there. We don't know. They're not even in the FA Cup final, but they've won the league. So it's so hard to win all three tournaments. And even back then, you would have been playing more games in the Champions League as well.
Mm.
What about your
roots of it? Ridiculously difficult considering over their history they've been so successful and like I haven't seen the majority of the
maybe
players.
Maybe we need
Uriah. Like,
yeah. I mean, we're
obviously
we're
Bobby Charlton and George Best and all these players are just incredible.
I mean, we're taking kind of stabs from our point of view here. Like, it's an opinion podcast, but yeah, obviously the names you mentioned there.
Yeah. So it's hard to, you know, judge between different generations. And
so you're not going to.
He's not going to answer the question.
I'm not going to answer the question. I'm just going to say that Mark Bosnich probably thought he was when he was my own cocaine. No, I think Ryan Giggs has just been ridiculously good for so long that, like, you mentioned Roy Keane was brilliant and probably was better than there has been players that were better than Giggs almost throughout his career, but he's just been consistently great just the whole time, and he's adapted his game to be like we've spoken about this before, he's adapted his game to be like a different type of
centre midfielder,
he's been a leader even. It's for ages,
rare that a good winger can do that as well. I mean, if you look at even someone like Joaquin has had to, you know, a winger like him has had to change his game to now he's not a winger now, you know, and he's done it at a decent level. But I mean, Giggs has done that even for say the last 5 years. He must be central at this stage, you know. So I think that's a, you know, as far as being a servant to the club and, you know, an impact wherever he plays, he's done a fantastic job.
And even, you know, on Monday night, he set up 2 goals.
Yeah.
Like, he's just
incredible. I do remember a lot of friends of mine, United fans, that were sick of him about 2 or 3 years ago. I said, he's too old, we need to move on, that he's terrible. And I'm like, well, I don't think he's terrible. I think if you're a player like that, you're probably allowed a little terrible patch for a while at a club.
But I think when you play for that long, you're going to be bound to have
You can have all these great players and kind of what you alluded to there. You have all these great players that have been there and you say Cantona was brilliant and Ronaldo was amazing and, you know, even Rooney's were fantastic. But they've all, they've all come and gone within Giggs' era at the club, and Giggs has just stayed consistent there. He stayed at the club, and I mean, okay, he obviously has that dips in form, but he's just been at the club for so long that it's kind of crazy to think all United's Premier League medals, he's won. Like, he's won all of them, all of that 13 medals. Like, I mean, he's won 25 club honours or something like that, I think, or some major honours at a club team. It's just crazy. Like, it's insane to think he's won that much.
What about yourself?
Well, I have a soft spot for goalkeepers, you know. Mm. They do a job that nobody else really wants to do. So I'm going to say Peter Schmeichel.
Oh, I don't even want to say Barthez.
I think he was, you know, the first world-class goalkeeper maybe in the Premiership, I think in the Premier League. Like, he was there from the beginning. He was there for 10 years or 9 seasons, I think. And he was just unbelievable. Like, they won, 7 trophies or something at that time, or 7 Premierships in that time. Yeah. It was just crazy to think that they were so good then. And they used to base their teams now might be, well, this team is slightly like that. They shut out the opposition, but they used to score a lot of goals. But Schmeichel was just unbelievable. He never seemed to concede. He never let the team drop. It was like Roy Keane. When you had players like that in your team, they were just leaders. And I'm like, when United were winning those titles back then, it was players like him and Cantona, all these great players like Beckham and Giggs and even Keane. They were still quite young and they were only coming through, but it was those other players like Schmeichel and Cantona that really carried them to the first couple of titles.
Funny you mentioned that, because do you think, I would say that's what this United team lacks, a character like Schmeichel or Keane. Like, they still have the likes of Giggs and Scholes in there, so they've
but they're not this
and youth, but they don't have that kind of, I don't even know how you say it, it's just like a world class leader type player they don't have, you know. They've got a fantastic goal scorer and the likes of Van Persie and all around fantastic player and Rooney, and, you know, and Carrick's picked up his form a lot this season.
I think it's the talisman they're missing in a way. You know, that kind of somebody who's going to drive the team forward. Like, the captain, you know, swaps between Village Ever and Ferdinand, depending on who's playing.
I don't think any of them are fantastically.
You know, Ferdinand's going to miss a lot of games, and he's a great influence in the dressing room, but he's not. Maybe Village is kind of, if he can have a really strong game, but, you know, Schmeichel would make 2 brilliant world class saves in the game, like unbelievable saves, and that would drive the team forward. He'd be up, he'd be roaring at the players. You don't really get that in the team. You know, okay, Van Persie drives team forward in goals, but he's not the same, doesn't have that same, you know, pops up. He scores great goals, but he doesn't come up, scores a goal when he's not expected, like Keane would have, or Schmeichel will pull off an absolutely world class save.
Score a goal when he's not expected to.
True. <Yeah. laughs> What I loved about Schmeichel as well was his, like, look at goalkeepers, like, say, De Gea. like his body shape, he's so kind of stringy and, and it's not a goal. I mean, he's really, like, over the last few games he's made a couple of good saves, he's gotten consistent. But like, for example, coming out to punch a corner, no one was going to knock Schmeichel down.
Yeah,
Schmeichel was going to take anyone in his way out. And,
you know, 6'4", 6'5", but he probably weighed about, you know, 70 in stone. He was huge. But I don't mean the fat, he was muscle. Like, he was huge. He wasn't now a Southall huge.
Yeah, I was going to say, what is the what's he called? The Walrus? Isn't that his nickname? It's like the Walrus or something like that. He has the Walrus cuckoo-cachoo.
Lovely. Yeah, the United love will continue later when we get to the Premiership. But Champions League, lads, that's where it's at. The big one, Champions League. And it was a really good week of Champions League football. I think they're two of the best semi-finals in my lifetime, I think.
Yeah.
They were unbelievable. 4-0 to Bayern Munich.
I Barcelona. Can't say we expected that at all.
Like, I don't think anybody expected it, did
they? I did say 2 or 3 weeks back, when the draw was made, that it would be a Bayern Munich and Real Madrid final. And I'm going to stick to my guns because I can't backpedal and change my mind now. But I still think it's quite possible, but we'll get on to our game later. Bayern Munich were fantastic, weren't they? They were just immaculately good.
They were just incredible. I mean, to not just play against Barcelona that way, but to open Barcelona up the way they did. I know it's from set pieces for the most part, but to exploit those weaknesses and to just have such a good game plan that worked, you know, it's just incredible. Like, it was a system that worked, like, properly. You know, I know Mourinho's beaten Barca a couple of times in his time there, but it never that convincingly. I mean,
and it wasn't a negative type, which Real, not negative like defensively, but like
they weren't kicking them.
Yeah, it wasn't the pressure that Bayern Munich put on Barcelona made them look so amateur. It was insane. Like,
yeah, they did.
We've seen this Barcelona. Yeah, we've seen this Barcelona team like pass people to death and like just not even go forward. They could just be holding on the ball, one touch. They just couldn't, like, they really couldn't pass. Iniesta and Xavi looked amateur, which is just, that's how good that performance was.
Well, Schweinsteiger was brilliant. He got himself booked, but he still kept pressing. He just didn't put any tackles in.
I think Martinez was fantastic.
Martinez
as well.
Was man of the match, I think. Really. Yeah. Muller was fantastic as well. And the defence were sat back. But Martinez drove that team forward. He was winning balls midfield that, you know, you just don't see Barcelona losing. He was right on top of Xavi and Iniesta any time they got the ball. He'd break forward just randomly, and you know the Barcelona team would have to track him because there's nobody there. Okay, the Barcelona defense wasn't as good as it was gonna be, but when you have these,
Bartra had a bit of a
got himself booked early on, couldn't do much else. But when you have players running at you like that, you don't know what to do.
Yeah,
Mario Gomez got himself booked for atrocious tackle on Messi, I think, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, where he just flattened him.
Yeah, he's just coming back. He just ran into him. But Messi really didn't get into the game, did he?
No, it was quite a shame to see. I mean, he wasn't fit, obviously, and he was kind of thrown back into the game. I still think he was trying to do it too much. He had a bit of a Ronaldo. If you remember Ronaldo in the Champions League final against Barcelona, where he tried to do everything himself.
That's usually what Ronaldo does.
Yeah, but I think Messi, we've praised him before for his like he picks the right option most of the time.
Yeah.
And that's why he's probably a better player than Ronaldo overall, because Ronaldo kind of goes for himself and tries to do it himself a lot. Messi usually kind of goes, well, no, I'll pick the right option. And he's thinking, I'm not going
to
say that.
And he sees his mate over there and he says, I'm going to pass to him. And he doesn't. And he beats the man. And he hits it.
No more Andy Gray. But yeah, I think that's one... one thing he just didn't get right in the last game. He kept trying to do it himself, and Schweinsteiger must have won the ball off him about 8 or 9 times in the same position outside the box. And Messi kind of gave up.
That's one of the things that Bayern Munich did so well, was to get the ball off them in the right areas.
Yeah.
Like, even look at the stats. I was amazed that Barca still had like 64-65% possession. But then I kind of thought, well, actually, yeah, they had a lot of the ball just kind of passing it around in their own half, and Bayern were like, yeah, you can have the ball there because we're just going to take it off you as soon as you get into our half. They were on top of them completely.
Speaking of statistics, Sky Sports News had this cracking table which was up of Messi's performance, like what he did in that 90 minutes and what he'd done in the 6 previous games or something like that. The Champions League would have more than 6, obviously.
Yeah.
And they were like, well, as you'll see, he wasn't that effective. I was like, yeah, from a load of big numbers to a load of small numbers, as you will see. It was like goals, like 8 goals, that game, 0. I was like, he can't do that. It doesn't make any sense. As you will see from these big statistics, they are bigger than these small statistics.
Over the last 6 games, he ran 70 kilometres. This game, he only ran 9.
That's a combination of 6 games right there.
As you said, Schweinsteiger was, I thought, excellent. And I thought the wingers, I thought Ribéry and Robben were fantastic.
They were quite disciplined.
And Muller. Muller was everywhere.
Muller, he was fine in space. Just wasn't space.
Yeah, exactly.
It was incredible too.
I thought it was very funny as well. Henry Winter, bring him up again. We had a bit of a pop at a midweek on Twitter. Well, yeah, I did. And he responded. We'll probably talk about that
later.
We'll
talk about that, yeah.
He had a little mention in that game talking about how England would love a Schweinsteiger. Like, he wishes we could have England could have a player like that, and it's an interesting point. He's so clinical, I suppose, Schweinsteiger, and what he does, he doesn't have a lot of hidden hope kind of passes, or
yeah, he doesn't do the kind of, he doesn't, you know, he gets the ball, he passes it on, and then he moves into space. Not really what Gerrard and Lampard do.
Yeah,
be the two great players. Say they might get the ball and try beat a man or bring it up, take a shot. You know, you don't see Schweinsteiger. He has a good long shot, we know that, but you don't see him shooting that often. And when he's playing with players like Martinez, who was just doing a phenomenal job of just marking space and men at the same time, almost, you know, he was sitting back, as you said, waiting for them to get into the half, and then he'd come up. But that's, you know, it was Gomez kind of pushing at the front, but then Martinez would suddenly be on top of him once they got into the half. You know, he's in the midfield position, but that's where the Barcelona defenders were nearly.
Yeah.
And he's just pressing there and he's winning the space, and then they get it, the wingers break forward, and that's where they open up, because they were closing down in the middle of the pitch rather than, you know, waiting for Barcelona to come at them and trying to win the ball back in their own box, because that just doesn't work, because they're going to pass and pass and pass and pass around you. And if they're going to do that from that distance, you know, we know Iniesta can hit one, Messi can hit one, you know, Xavi can hit one.
It's worth also saying, though, for Barcelona's point of view, 2 of the goals probably shouldn't have stood. They were offside.
Were they both offside? Robin's one was ridiculous.
Muller just ran across.
Who was it that he ran across?
Oh, that's what it was. Muller's fell.
It's ridiculous. Like, yeah, there's no way that that goal should have stood. But even still, like, 4-0 didn't flatter.
No, it didn't. It was, and again, Barca did get away. PK handball in the box. I don't think they can have too much complaints about how the game went.
In fairness to them,
they didn't have a shot until the 40th minute.
All of them have come out and just said, "Nah, we're much better than us. Yeah. Like, we have to be better." I've seen it on so many different stuff.
No, it was the 40th minute they had the first shot. Not on target. Lawrence then chipped in with bloody on TV3. He chipped in with at about 70 minutes later, where they talked in the 40th minute about how they hadn't had a shot, and they eventually got a shot off on target. Talked about it, and then Mark Lawrence about 5 minutes later forgot and started talking. I said, "I don't think they've had a shot." I was like, "You were just talking about it. You said they did." He listened to him commentate, Lawrence. I know we have a go at him all the time on this, but it's worth saying when he commentates something, he talks about it as if no one else has seen it, and that he's, you know, like, he's realised something that no one else knows, you know? So you see the replay, you see the offside, they show the line, and he goes, "I'll tell you what, Trevor, he's offside! look over there, look! And he's, like, as if he's pointing and explaining, you're like, "I know, would you stop telling me that?"
Doesn't offer any insight, which is really what you want from a co-commentator. Doesn't offer any. Yeah, well, the goals, the first one, I mean, the set piece that exposed him, the second one was the set piece that exposed him, the third one was the foul on Alba, which I thought was going to be blown for, but just wasn't.
Yeah, I actually thought it kind of was, because everyone seemed to stop, and then Robin was just like, "As you would, just put the ball in," and then he was like, "Oh, it stands." Actually, I was watching it, and the sound was delayed where I was watching it, so I was kind of like, what's happening, it's a goal. I was like,
it was a good finish though, Robin. He still
something. Yeah, it was very nice.
And then that fourth one, really, because at 3 you were like, you still thought that there was a chance when they went back to New Camp, and then they got the 4 with Muller. And was it just a drift into the space he did and just kind of tap it in, and they opened him up so easily again.
Yeah. I have to say, I always loved when I went to the stadium last year. I do love the you know, when they score, when the commentator announces it over, and he goes, "Thomas," and they all shout "Muller," and then they do the he announces Bayern Munich, and the crowd shout 2 like Svi, and then Barcelona, and they all shout "null." At the end, he goes, Danke, which is thank you. And everyone shouts back, you're welcome.
Something like German efficiency.
Yeah, I love that though. He doesn't have to say that the score, like they don't even need him there. Yeah. They just have like a soundboard of that man that announces it. And the crowd shout back. It's excellent. Such good stuff.
Can they come back?
I don't think so. I said Bayern would win. I don't think Bayern would concede four and not score any.
Yeah, the thing about it is like they haven't, it's been over a year since they've failed to score away from home.
Yeah.
They've scored 55 goals in their last 10 games.
Stats.
But that's insane. Yeah. I read that, I was like, well, I have to take that down because that's ridiculous.
Yeah,
that it's incredible. I mean, since they won the league, they've played kind of reserve-ish kind of teams because they've obviously been focused on this game.
And but it's they've paid won, off
they've
big
won,
time, hasn't
they've
it?
Won 2 games, 6-1. And they haven't been playing their proper team at all. Yeah. Like they just kind of like,
well,
they, oh, we'll
they
take,
have.
We'll
they
take it.
Them on.
Well, yeah, but it hasn't been their strongest lineup for any of them. They've taken out, oh, we'll take out, Thomas Muller. We'll put in Shaqiri, who's also another fantastic player.
Yeah. He's, take out Shaqiri and put in Shaqira.
Yeah, he's a fantastic.
PK wouldn't be too happy about that. Yeah,
no.
That's distracting. He's like, is my wife, what, she on the bench?
Goes back to the Milan game though when we talk about Barcelona and comebacks, which Javi said we are missing one big comeback, and I just don't see it happening.
I can't see it happen.
But geez, Bayern Munich have some future ahead of them if they can.
Well, that was my next question. Can Pep Guardiola make this team any better than it is?
I mean, Henkels is even, and to have like to see Guardiola on the market and be like, he may not be able to bring them any more success than they already have, but to follow up,
sustain that success.
Yeah, to sustain that success, he should be a good up and coming manager to do that for a couple of years. And I mean, maybe you'd kind of go, okay, well, look, some of this team is coming to the end with Robin and Ribery.
Can argue that, but Ian Robin was the oldest, or Frank Ribery was the oldest player that they had on that team. He turned 30 last week.
Yeah, I know, but like, I don't see.
It's a pretty young team, really.
I from my point of view, Robin and Ribery will start to decline. It's a bit speculation, but I mean,
they have Mario Götze now.
That's the thing.
Exactly. Like you told me, because I hadn't heard it. You told me that Mario Götze had signed, and I immediately thought that's a long-term replacement for Frank Ribery.
Mm.
Sorted, done.
Mm.
Like
you've got Shaqiri and the other wing, then
you've
got Muller and
got Thomas.
It was a bit of a shock, that whole deal, wasn't it? It kind of came a terrible week,
terrible time.
Terrible time for it.
What happens if they're in the final?
Yeah, it's a weird one.
He's gonna play, isn't
he? He has to be professional and play for Dortmund, obviously.
Yeah.
But he might just smash in some own goals.
It reminded me of the time when there was all that speculation about Steven Gerrard signing for Chelsea, and then he scored the own goal in the
League Cup.
It's funny that you thanks for bringing that up. it's funny that you mentioned the whole Jared Chelsea thing. I had an argument last night, just a friendly argument, with two friends
ended up in a ditch with a shovel, beating them over the head with a shovel.
I would call it a debate, but alcohol was involved, so it was more of an argument. But we did talking about this whole deal, and one or two of them were outraged by Götze leaving and going to Bayern Munich, saying, would you not rather be a hero at your club? And I was trying to make the point, I understand where they're coming from, but I was trying to make the point that, like, yeah, okay, like look at Gerrard, he's done that, and Shearer, and this place like that, but we don't necessarily know what Götze wants. He might want to be part of a club with a manager like Pep Guardiola in the future that dominates in Europe for, like, with this team, they could, if they hold on, and bring in a few players like that,
like,
could dominate for the next 4 or 5 years.
Well.
Yeah. I mean,
there's already reports that the deal's done.
Gunnar Bagway said that English clubs
shouldn't
bother.
Because it's agreed.
Well, he said that Dortmund have said that.
Yeah, well, who knows?
But they apparently were trying to get him to sign a new contract.
Well,
he said no.
After his performance in the Champions League, four goals in the Champions League semi-final against Real Madrid. Admittedly, one of them was a penalty, but he still scored four goals against Real Madrid in the Champions League semi-final.
What if speculation was true, all the bad speculation, and that United signed Lewandowski and Falcao? And that Lewandowski,
Falcao, Rooney,
Van Persie,
Hernandez,
I'd leave Rooney out of there. And then you could bring on the old Lionheart of Welbeck and Rooney if the game's not going that well. Which it will be, because you've got three amazing left footers playing up front.
But no centre midfielders. well, one of United's one of the things Ferguson does seem to do when he wins a league is spend money on a big player to keep the team taken over. And then when they don't win a league, he doesn't usually go and buy. He usually keeps that team together for another season or a season or two, and they usually go and win the title anyway, because they're usually good enough. But anyway, look, on top of that, in a few minutes, the Dortmund 4, Madrid 1. I mean, the German team's just absolutely wiping the floor from the league of teams. And you start to think, oh, is there a shift in the balance of power now? Like, are we going to see more German teams, or is just these two German teams in particular, or is this Dortmund's last hurrah when they're going to lose Götze, they're probably going to lose Lewandowski, and come next season they could be, you know, knocked out in the first round.
It's interesting though, because I mean, Dortmund still have power to pull into. I mean, they got Reus ahead of Bayern Munich, when I'm pretty sure Bayern Munich were trying to buy him at the time as well. He chose Dortmund, so they do still have the power to pull in these good players, and probably will replace Götze. So we just kind of have to see how they go.
It's an interesting one, because they've always been able to bring in these good players. Like, they brought through Götze through the youth team. Lewandowski cost him 4 million. I think Marco Reus might have cost like 11 or something like that. And I mean, he was player of the season last year. But what are they going to do with 37 million? I don't know. Like, they very rarely have that much money. It's interesting, will they continue to just build this team in the same way that they have been doing? Or do they just go, 37 million, we'll just spend it on one good player and just replace Götze immediately, and there you go, no problem?
I have an interesting question for you guys, because you know the way we talked about Klopp, like, not leaving Dortmund? But what if, because I don't know the ins and outs of this deal, I imagine he wasn't on board for selling Götze.
What I was, they reached a clause in the contract.
Yeah.
It's a release clause, so it's activated automatically. The club have to accept.
Yeah, there's nothing.
Okay, well, I was, because in my mind I was thinking, surely he's not on board for selling Lewandowski and
no, Götze. Obviously not, no.
So what if, you know, that is the case, that he loses these two players, will that change his mind about leaving Dortmund?
I think he would stay, because he's going to get somewhere in the region of 50 million to spend to rebuild that team, and if he can find those players. But this happens with teams, and you know, we had it before with a great Dynamo Kiev team in the 90s, the late 90s, with Shishenko and Reprov, but the team got ripped apart. Those players got pulled around Europe. They moved from Greece after they won the Euro. Suddenly all these players in Greece were getting big moves to clubs, and they were all, I know it's not the same national team, but
suddenly they were all German.
But all these things, it does happen with teams. You have these great teams, they come for a couple of seasons, they're good, but then suddenly they get the Shakhtar team, you know, it's a good team, they might do a Dortmund next season, they might do really well, but suddenly that team might get pulled apart. Malaga, they're losing players, they've lost Cazorla, they've lost Monreal, well, for one.
Malaga is a bit of a
To sell, but yeah, I know what you mean though.
These teams, when they do, you know,
I suppose that'll be
Isco's probably going to leave after having a good season.
That'll probably show then. Are Dortmund going to be one of the, you know, the big boys, stay up with this and spend this money wisely and make another, like, I mean, if you're like Arsenal, if you're gonna, you know, lose a player like that, you need to replace him.
The comparisons can be drawn, but when Arsenal sold Nasri and Fabregas, it's like, oh, they've
Van Persie and
Song, and they have no ambition. It's like, oh, look, they're selling these players, want to get money. But that's not the case. When big clubs come knocking and they start waving a lot of money in front of that player's face, you know, the other players want to leave as well. Like, Fabregas is a different case, because he's always wanted to go back to Barcelona. But the other players, they're going to leave if you start putting that money in front of them, and if you start offering huge nonsense amounts of money. And that's the thing, if you don't replace them, obviously you see with Arsenal, it's not going to, you know, it's not the same. Like, you're not going to have the same team, and it can be difficult to find those kind of, you're not going to find Lewandowski or another Götze like that, you know what I mean? Like,
I can't imagine there's another Götze just sitting in their their youth team. Or
I don't know, there could be.
They need to look no further than the 12-man podcast. Got an array of fantastic attacking players in here. We do. Rue Tolman.
That's it.
The other people are defensive.
Yeah. Alright, I'll go if wouldn't mind.
Get Jorgen on the phone. But we haven't covered the match yet.
The match. Which was Lewandowski's best goal? The third one?
Third one.
That drag past Pepe was just sensational. The finish.
Pepe was muck.
I think
he's muck.
I think Pepe's muck. I think Diego Lopez was awful. I think he wasn't assured enough, he didn't come off his line enough, he didn't show enough character. He made that great save against Gundogan's shot, which was really good save, but he just didn't do enough. I mean, Casillas, that impact, I think he would have made. I think he would have been out on top of things a lot quicker.
Yeah.
Like, Lewandowski's second one, the turn after the shot, I think, you know, okay, it's a very powerful, like, you know, it's very quick. It happens in a second. Well, I think a better keeper would be off our line a lot quicker. Yeah. Right on top of that.
We had this argument like two podcasts ago. We all agreed. I don't think we had an argument about
that.
Debate. It could be a huge
One side.
It could come back and bite Mourinho if he's not careful about it. Because, as you pointed out, yeah, Lopez come in and done well. And you can go, okay, well, I probably can't drop him. But
the big games.
But, yeah, I mean, Casillas has done well over a number of years. And
is a better keeper.
Is a better keeper. And is there in the big games to make those kind of quick decisions. And he's used to the big games.
I wouldn't be surprised if he's back for the next game.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, he was captain as well. Let's not forget that.
It looks like, you know, the personal stuff, Mourinho's letting that get in the way of the professional stuff and might well cost him the Champions League.
Yeah, because I just think keeping like that, he's so solid fighting fella, he was off his line very quick because he's a short goalkeeper. He's been number one for 11 years or something, 10 years.
Made a couple of goals in the game.
Made that save against Ronaldo for 8-8 on, but he was quick off his line, right on top of things. And I know Lewandowski's two goals are, you know, so quick and the touches were immaculate, but you know, you think maybe a better keeper would have been out, especially on the second one where he came out and he might have got that. Like, nothing he could have done for the first one, and the third one was smashed right to the top of the net.
You felt the penalty was a bit harsh as well, didn't you?
I just kind of felt Alonso was a bit, you know, sometimes that gets given, sometimes it doesn't, sometimes it just seems a bit of a clash. Alonso kind of just runs into the back of him when he goes down.
Well, I think there is kind of a forearm on his back, though, eh? It's not aggressive, and it's not,
I don't think
he's not trying to shove him over, but still, there's an arm on his back.
It's clumsy. It's clumsy the way he went about it. I mean, if you're running to get that ball, it's kind of bouncing in the air. It's all over the place.
Yeah.
And someone even nudges into your back when you're trying to control the ball, it is enough to knock it off balance. I wouldn't say it was a dive.
You know, it was a lot of starting and stopping and changing direction as well. So you're kind of like, I don't know. I don't know if I was in that position. I don't know if I would have given it because I don't think there's enough of a foul there. You know, that happens outside the box as well all the time, and you just kind of play on if the ball rolls to somebody else.
I don't know,
the ref let a lot go.
The ref let a lot go in both games.
It made for
a very good referee, apart from the two offside decisions.
The linesman decided.
It made for a much better game because the players realised you can't just fall over and get whatever you want.
Yeah.
And it actually became physical again.
That's why
nice
if it
see.
Had been a Real and Barcelona semi-final, we would have had a terrible game riddled with start and stopping, you know? And that's why I'm glad it's drawn the way it is.
Yeah. Well,
Bayern Real final. I'm sticking with it. I'm sticking to my goal.
What, 3-0 to Real?
Do you think Real can get through?
I can't back down. I have to stick with it.
That away goal, though, it's so important.
It's huge,
I know it's just one goal, but, you know, is it that inconceivable that Madrid would 3-0 at home?
Or 4-1.
No. Yeah.
You know, I can see Dortmund getting another goal, but I wouldn't put it past Madrid hammering 4-1.
And this, like we mentioned it before, this Dortmund team is very inexperienced at this level. If Real go absolutely all guns blazing, get a goal in the first 5 minutes.
Which they probably will.
Suddenly, Dortmund are kind of looking around and going, well, we're not very good defending.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I'd love an all-German final. I really would. I think it would be fantastic. But I'm going to stick with what I said. I think Mourinho will know what to do, but will know how to go about the next game. And
yeah, well, he's
he'll have it driven into the players that we cannot play like we did there.
Yeah.
They play Atletico Madrid at the weekend, so I think that would be a bit of a wake-up call for them, because the fans would be on the back about it.
Yeah. But it's a weird one, though, because I was watching it, and it's kind of, I expect Bayern are obviously going to come through. I expect that. And then I was watching the Dortmund-Real game, and I was like, I want Dortmund to beat Real. But then, if it gets to a Bayern-Dortmund final, I have no idea who I want to win that. And then I'm completely torn, and it's less entertaining for me.
I'd be going with Bayern simply because I was there for a little while, and I was watching the. I actually had the thought that if that is the case, I wonder in Germany would I set up fan parks again? I'd go over to the fan park.
Well, actually,
it would be great if you guys be interested in a podcast over in Germany. Should try and work that out.
At a fan park.
Yeah. Well, we don't have to do it at the fan park.
Nice and loud.
Yeah. Well, we can do it.
Everyone,
after.
Please be quiet.
Well, no, we could do it after somewhere. It would be.
Look, I know they scored. just one.
Why are we doing it during the match? That's terrible. Oh, the running order is changing all over the place.
How are Wigan doing? I'm looking up my phone now.
It's the last day to see what. Just one last mention to the Dortmund fans, who were brilliant as well. That wall of fans at the end, and Dortmund players going out and showing the respect to the fans as well.
Did they do the character guy again with the binoculars watching the?
I didn't see that.
Some weird, but all the players sat down and the fans started cheering for something. They all jumped up together for some reason.
The Dortmund players celebrated a lot at the end. And I suppose in my head I was like, I shouldn't be celebrating this early. And I was like, go enjoy your night.
It's a huge night for them,
you know.
If they get through, they can't do it because it's not at home. Also, I saw, it seemed like Mario Götze was quite emotional at the end. I was kind of like, oh, that's a bit weird. And then I was like, all right, fair enough. It's actually the last time that he will be able to achieve such a big thing in front of his own fans. Yeah. So I was like, all right, yeah, go on, have a cry.
Unless they have a parade, you know, when you win the title.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it's still not
the same. It would be a strange feeling if they play a part in the final because they won. And then you think, great, we're the champions, but I'm moving to the other team.
Yeah.
Now. And that's it. That moment is kind of gone within winning it. Like, that final whistle goes, like, yeah, oh, wait, that's my last game. But it's like, that's his last game for the club. That's it.
What if he like does like what Gerrard did in 2005 and he goes, oh yeah, no, I'm not leaving now. I've got to sign the contract, you have to.
But actually, like, if that happens, he's still going to Bayern Munich with a Champions League medal.
Yeah.
So he could be completely selfish in this and just say, alright, it's kind of crap that we all won the Champions League, yay, but I won the Champions League.
I'm not sure if this has ever happened before, this situation, like him going into a final. Possibly going into a final, and he's going to join that team next year. Would they, if it can't do a penalty shootout, and you were the manager, would you stick him on penalties? Or,
like, he would be probably one of the penalty takers. But with the move,
is it a conflict of interest almost? Like,
he is going to want to win at Dortmund.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
What good is it for him letting Bayern Munich win the Champions League?
Yeah,
exactly.
He's not going to have a medal.
Yeah. I get runners up on him. And then like him more.
It is a weird. I mean, why announce it?
Yeah,
that would be the most annoying thing for me. It's like, all right, if it happens, but now there was so much about the build up, even on RTE, and they don't know who Mario Götze is.
Anyway, lads, fantastic week of football to come next week with that.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be back conclusion to that, but let's move to the Premier League. We mentioned United won the league. We'll come to that in a minute. Chelsea 2, Liverpool 2. Something way more important happened in this game. Oscar scored a header.
Mr. Winter put it on Twitter. What did he say again? It was like, he said,
corner Chelsea, Oscar
heads in, header.
And I had a little pop at him and just retweeted it saying, don't worry guys, Henry Winter has this one covered. Or a general fantastic journalist and generally exciting man, Henry Winter has this one covered. Then he replied and told me to go look at Oscar's stats. Which, in fairness, I went, okay, well, but I know the point he was trying to make, but I wasn't shocked about the header. I know, I was pissed off about
it. It was a very good header as well.
It was. It was a great header. In return, then asked Mr. Winter, I said, yeah, I get the point you're making, but we were laughing at the way you presented this. Also, what's Michael Owen's header stats like? I'm sure you know. So he never wrote back, so I had to look it up myself.
And?
I didn't look it up. Still waiting on a reply from Henry Winter.
Seriously though, we have to talk about Suarez. And that bite. Yeah.
Yeah, it's been...
10-game ban.
Like, what is there to say?
We talked a little bit before, me and Rue, before you got here, about the ban.
Well, okay, the ban, but about the bite itself.
He looked like a rabies-ridden critter of some sort coming out of him.
Because before the ban was out... I was talking to one of my friends and it was just like, oh, we haven't talked about the bite yet. And I was like, yeah, that's weird. But then I started thinking,
this sounds like another podcast.
I like the way you're so structured with your friends. We haven't talked about the bite yet. That's one thing.
That's no, it was just kind
further down the line. There's a list of things to talk about.
We were talking about the football and then it was kind of like, there was something big this weekend, wasn't there? Oh yeah, geez, we haven't spoken about the bite yet. And then it was kind of like, well, actually, there's not that much to say. It's just a disgracefully disgusting thing to do.
I want to know what love is.
Imagine
what you just show me.
Imagine being Ivanovic and seeing that come at you. It must be terrifying. Like, I've seen, you know, a dog, like, gnarl his teeth, whatever you call that, when he kind of shows his teeth and growls. And it's scary. Imagine a man coming at you and being like, ah, like, what are you doing? But fuck off.
Did that moment
definitely sounds like Franz
what are you doing?
But that moment when you look down and somebody's biting you, you're like, what?
Stop it.
But I think we talked about it.
Have you ever been bitten?
Yeah.
By
girls.
I was thinking more along the lines of I remember my younger brother as a kid teething. And would have bitten me as a kid, you know.
You remember that? You're only like a year or two older.
But I mean, when he was teething, he'd have been about I don't know, whenever you get teeth.
Aren't you younger than your older brother? Older than your younger brother?
That was a weird sense. Anyway, my point is, the way Ivanovic ended up on the ground, which I thought was, like, I'm not defending it, was an atrocious thing to do, I'm happy you got the man, but Ivanovic ended up on the ground, he's like, oh, my arm.
Yeah, well, I actually thought he dealt with it quite well.
Yeah, he was,
he got praise for that.
Just like, I'd probably have hit Suarez if he did that, to be honest.
That's like, what a lot of people say. I would just clock them in the face.
Smash the teeth. I think most people want to, that again.
I think most people want to hit him in any way. But, you know, when he does something like that. We only talked, I think, a couple of weeks ago about spitting, didn't we? I think we talked about how disrespectful that was. If we didn't, we should have.
I hate spitting.
Yeah, but spitting's really disrespectful because, you know, you'd rather be tackled, you know, and you know, not get injured, but you'd rather be on the end of a bad tackle or somebody punching you, because spitting is so sly. It's disgusting. It's not even like manly in the very common, you know what I mean? It's a real
gutter rat stuff.
It's a coward's way of doing it. Yeah.
It's like a stamp. It's similar to I know you'd nearly prefer that, but it is. It's a similar
kind of
this
kind of like you're just like what you. But it's the same with the bite. It's like what
I think
are
the
you
bite
doing?
Is closer to the pinch. Like, you know, trying to put someone off, pinch or biting them. But, like, you know, 10-game ban, Rodgers has said that it's too much. The one argument I have with the 10-game ban is that he got 8 for racism.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
10 for a bite. So that's my one.
It's kind of worrying if that's their priority.
I don't think that they should take away less from a bite. I think they should increase the racism ban. But
well, like we talked about this a while ago.
There is bigger implications.
So that might be, I mean, it might just be bad timing for Suarez to bite someone. He should have bitten someone last year, Suarez.
But
got away with it.
The racism thing, like, there's so much more in the racing thing because social implications as well. And you see, you don't want kids doing that. But the same with the biting thing, you don't want, because
I'd rather a kid bite than be racist.
Yeah, but that's
like kids bite.
That's
it happens.
You kind of would prefer that, and you're kind of like, what are the FA trying to do here? They're saying it's better to be racist than like violent conduct. Like, it just doesn't make sense. Like, the only reason I think that he might have got a 10-game ban rather than a slightly shorter ban is because he might have had something over him because of ill-discipline before. And that happens. I don't know if he would have... You know, sometimes they have suspended sentences or suspended games. Like, so they're banned for 2, 1 get suspended. So if they do something within the next 6 months, they get a 3-game ban. And then they get that game added to it anyway.
Yeah.
I wonder if, not that that was the case, but I wonder if because of his previous ill discipline that they said, well, you normally this would be an 8-game ban or 7-game ban, but we're going to give you an extra 2 because you have done previous.
Speaking of, I was saying to Rue, you always think of the main obvious ones of Suarez. You're like, oh, he's done stuff before, you know, the racism and the...
handball
and stuff like that. And then Sky Sports actually had a lineup of stuff he did. I was like, because I knew the other bite as well.
Yeah.
There's loads you'd actually forgotten about. You're like, oh, well, he's done a lot more. And fought with Albert Luque and got suspended from
They would be nice, yeah.
Yeah, and there was like one or two things like that. They're like, oh, yeah, he did, didn't he? He did a load of stuff. Also,
he's missed 16% of Liverpool's games since he's been there through suspension.
Wow.
Yeah.
Also, what do you think Ivanovic tastes like? I'd say turnips. I'd say he tastes like turnips.
He's mostly muscle, though, isn't he? So I wouldn't say he tastes that nice.
Yeah, but look at him.
Which footballer would taste the best?
Genus looks like he tastes good.
Fabian Delph looks like he's made of flan.
Grant Hall looks like he'd be gamey, you know? Good roast.
No,
you know?
There's good meat in Grant Hall. You add a bit of salt, you've got yourself a nice, like, kind of like...
You've just a leg of
a nice carvery Grant Hall there.
Grant Hall ties.
You bite into them milky Grant Hall ties.
Making a...
I don't know, actually. That is a good question. Get on to that. At 12-man podcast.
Good question is a very strong term.
There's a question. At 12-man podcast.
I'll upload that later, but yeah.
Tastiest Premier League footballer. Mm. Tastiest footballer.
Yeah, tastiest footballer.
And not good looking. You know, we want actual taste.
Yeah.
Who would you most like to eat?
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
We haven't talked about the match again.
Yeah, we've covered that extensively. We've covered the Premiership now, lads. We move on.
Of course he was going to score in the last minute as well.
Yeah. 96 minute and then some.
That's been talked about before. That's the minimum.
Yeah, we know that. So. We understand that. There was plenty going on that extra time to warrant another at least 2 minutes. I think to Chelsea were kind of just standing around the ball.
Benitez was quite upset about that, I have to say, and he didn't actually talk. I thought it was quite respectful of him as a former Liverpool manager, the club he loves, and a kind of better idea from both managers not to talk about the bite.
Yeah.
In like directly after, because I mean we learned Dalglish learned the hard way that it's a terrible thing to do. But I was wondering, MNS, the Irish
Monday Night Soccer
on RTA, when they interview the managers after and ask them about penalty incidents and stuff like that, you know, a lot of people always say, I haven't seen it. They have a TV screen right beside them and they play the incident as it happens. And I was like, why doesn't this happen?
Satanta used to do it.
Yeah,
it's an excellent idea. I'd love to, I think that's...
And it really puts managers on the spot.
Yeah, it saves them from, you know, was it a penalty? Well, I think it's, you know...
You get better interviews, you get better reactions. Yeah.
I don't know why it's not done. It's a great thing, I think. I mean, M&S has beaten Sky Sports in that way. Go RTE.
And Sky Sports.
Although you know that, like, well, RTE's one is some, like, old tube TV from the 1980s.
No, it's cool.
Whereas, like, Sky Sports would have
an iPad,
yeah.
With Andy Gray stickers all over. That's how the party are being Sky. They don't have that absolute shithead on there.
It wouldn't even be an iPad. It'd be like a hologram of the image. Yeah. Like what Princess Leia is in Star Wars.
Yeah. Right. I have to say, just before, Sturridge's impact was phenomenal.
Yeah, well, we've got to move on to that. So I was going to say, you know, we actually have to talk about the game.
Yeah.
It was a lovely goal as well. It was as far as the centre
one. Yeah, it was a ball by Carragher, a big hoof. Which Downing, credit to Downing,
a crossfield pass from Carragher.
Even if he didn't mean to flick that to Suarez Downing, he did very well to get on the end of that, because it was one of those, it was coming over his head and he kind of had to look at where he was coming from. He got his left foot to it, flicked it onto Suarez, and that ball was just magnificent. Mm. But apart from the goal, Sturridge had made a fantastic impact and looked like... He didn't celebrate against Chelsea, and I was like, you don't owe them anything. Give it socks. Come on. I hate that. If it's Del Piero scoring against Juventus, that's the only example I'll allow. It's like, you know,
Totti Roma.
Yeah, but like, but they'd have to leave.
Giggs United.
Yeah, they'd have to leave and then score. And then I'd go, okay, yeah, fair enough. But like, someone like
Henri
that.
Arsenal.
All that happened to Sturridge was that he got a bit of time on the bench at Chelsea. It didn't help him further his career.
No. And when he did play, he played in position.
Yeah. So he should be going, oh yeah, look what you've missed. Look at me, I'm great.
It'd be like Damien Duff, you know, not celebrating. He's kind of celebrating against Chelsea.
Yeah, he should. John Joe Shelby came on and disappointed him.
I have to say,
I want to give the kid a chance and let him be. Look, he makes this kind of impact in the midfield and he runs a lot. But he's just... He's making me dislike him when he does stuff like that. There was one shot that he just missed. Like, so...
Oh, it was a terrible...
Should have hit the target! It outraged me. And then he blasted two more over just after. It was like, you want to break into this team. You're kind of... He was giving out about being made the scapegoat before for bad results. And I was like, well, start showing us what's what then. Joe Allen's injured. Now's your time to try and break into the team.
Yeah. It's whether he can actually break in, whether he's good enough. And, you know, there's plenty of players that have been bought at Liverpool the last couple of years that have just been kind of questionable, like Charlie Adams, stuff like that, that have gone, moved on. So you wonder if he's one of those players who fall into that category. You know, he's still quite young.
We also didn't talk about Suarez's handball. Led to the penalty.
He had a
sublime to the ridiculous to the ridiculouser and then back to sublime
to
right at the end of the
sublime.
Game. It's like, yeah, it's just like, oh, but yeah, I actually think that was, for me, I know that the bite is annoying. We won't have him for the rest of the season now,
or the start of next season if he's still
actually
there.
I think he will be still there, and I also think,
who's gonna buy him now?
I also think it's a good, maybe a bit of a good thing for Liverpool, because now we'll have to have like a few games of what happens when Suarez is injured, because we don't do that enough at Liverpool. When it was Torres, it was like, when he's injured, we have a gog. Sturridge,
when he's injured, we play him anyway.
Yeah, well, like with Sturridge coming in, it should be like, right, how are we going to play with just Sturridge now if Suarez is missing? I'm looking forward to seeing how we cope with that.
Well, maybe Liverpool could, over the summer, they could buy some other, you know, South American forward who looks very like Suarez and then suddenly plays for the first five games of the season before getting injured and leaving the club. Just to cover their tracks.
This is Suarez.
It's Suarez. Joao, with a J. Suarez.
Well, we did something similar before signing Deegan. The other, you know, the two Deegan twins.
Philip Deegan.
The other one. For young boys. We may have swapped them a few times. Didn't work.
Like in an episode of Sister Sister.
Like in every episode of Sister Sister. I'm pretty sure that's what that series was based on.
What next for Suarez? Do you think he'll stay?
Yeah, I do. I think he'll stay. I'd be surprised if he
stays. Yeah, I'd say he will stay. Although there is speculation he might go to Bayern because
Guardiola's
brother is his agent.
I mean, we don't have to sell him. We
don't have to, but why would
we? No. Well, he seemed...
Well,
like,
I think...
He, he seems closer to maybe wanting to go.
Yeah.
Because he's quite annoyed at the FA for...
He feels victimized.
I mean, I know he's hated everywhere else, but he's loved by Liverpool fans. And
yeah, but everybody's loved by Liverpool fans.
I know that. And
he could murder somebody and still be loved by Liverpool fans. So
Harry Kewell made that point during the week, actually. Ken Early wrote in the Irish Times. Fantastic article, you should read it. That Harry Kewell, as a 19-year-old, was rude to one of the board members at Leeds or something like that, or one of the kind of investors. And he was like, well, it doesn't matter, does it? Because I can just score a goal next week and everyone will love me again. I could murder someone if I wanted and I could get away with that. So it's a good article. Check it out.
It's an interesting article, I'd say. Move on then. Or did you have a point to make?
No, never.
Never. Manchester United, champions. They beat Villa 3-0. We were already talking about them, kind of, at the start.
Well, United may be the champions, but Villa are the champions. So, yeah. Who won there?
Is it too was it too easy for United this season, or really just that good, that clinical?
Clinical is the word.
Yeah, they were like a machine, maybe.
Yeah, they really just. I mean, they've kind of become that over the last few years. I don't think they've. I don't think they've been the dominating, great football playing, you know, full of integral leaders
as we talked team, about. Right?
That they used to be, but they're you know, the Ferguson's just. Sublime manager has them playing this way, and they just win games. Mm. They just win and win and win.
But there is that point that, like, it's kind of, it's easy to look back at all these great teams and just remember them for the greatness that they had.
That was the point
in retrospective. Like, there's a lot of players that you kind of just shun out of the team and kind of go, oh, do you remember that team when they had, you know...
I remember Ronnie Johnson, David May.
Yeah, see, there was a lot of these players that actually played quite a lot of football.
Mm.
And
Wes
Brown,
when he was good.
Yeah.
But, you know, maybe in 10 years we might look back and think, that was a record-breaking team.
Mm.
It could well be considered one of the best.
Ferguson did make that point, that nostalgia plays tricks on the mind. Like, it, you know...
And he made it in a much more... eloquent way than I did.
Yeah, he did, exactly. Which he doesn't usually do, to be fair.
He may have said that, or he may have just said,
But the game itself, I thought, was... I mean, I don't think anyone expected any differently. I think...
Yeah. But they got the 3 goals in the first half.
2 minutes.
That was it.
2 minutes in, Van Persie scored. You know, it was a bit boring after that, to be honest. It was kind of like...
Well, there was one moment that was...
It was quite good. Rooney's long pass.
Yeah.
First, you absolutely tundered it.
Which, as we talked about earlier, Sky Sports showed the picture of when he did that for Arsenal.
It's the exact same position.
It mirrored. Like, they had the two of them up beside each other. I don't know if you guys have seen this, but you should Google it. Like,
this Gary Neville, I take it.
Yeah, he dragged up two images, put them beside each other. That's fantastic. You just see the form he takes. It's weird. It's like butterfly shape. It's really weird, but
he gets so much. It's just balance and power.
It's technique. His technique is incredible.
And he's here. He looks at his knee and he's smashing it.
You were praising Downing for getting his foot on Carragher's ball.
Mm.
And it was almost like you were describing the Van Persie goal, because you were saying, coming over the shoulder.
Yeah.
Just gets his left foot on it.
I think I was praising Downing more, because I don't think he can do that usually.
But like, the fact that Culture Van Persie can just... I don't know.
Outrageous.
I can't even...
No. They were doing the thing on Twitter.
No words.
You'd be a terrible football player.
Yeah, I would be, yeah.
Get into the fan zone. Remember that old Sky Sports fan zone?
Did, actually. They were... they did a thing on Monday Night Football with Gary Neville. Talking about how important Van Persie was, obviously, in the goals he scored this season, but Gary Neville went through and he picked out 6 games that Hernandez had scored in the season. He's like, United won that game 1-0, United won that game 2-0, and Hernandez scored the second goal or the first goal. And how important Hernandez's goals were, even though he didn't play it a lot. And I think he compared him to Teddy Sheringham in the 2002 season, or 2001, 2002 season, or something like that, when United won the league. And he said Teddy Sheringham
should have won the league.
Or maybe it was 2001, when Teddy Sheringham barely played, you know, played about, you know, whatever, 15 games in the season, maybe a couple of sub periods, but he scored, say, 7 goals, and they're all vital goals, like, they're all match-winning goals, or important goals to get United back in the games. And he says, Van Persie might have scored, you know, whatever, 25 goals so far this season, and it's wonderful, of course he did a great job, but Hernandez also, you know, those goals he scored were so important, because you need somebody to score when it's not happening. Then you're saying, like, it's kind of the difference. You look at City, and you go, Aguero's barely scored this season, Zeko's barely scored this season, Tevez barely scored this season. says nobody's getting the goals when the rest of them aren't.
Yeah.
At Arsenal, you know, when Arsenal won titles, okay, Henri was scoring 30 a season, but he also had Pires and Lundberg chipping in with
Will Tarden.
Yeah, with maybe 10. Yeah, Will Tarden. Bergkamp chipping in with about 10.
How do we not lead with that name? But
yeah. And what's the difference? Because in a way, they had, for Pires, he was a great goal scorer, and they have Rooney, but he hasn't had a great season, but they also have other players who can score goals. And we mentioned earlier, Carrick's had a great season, Raphael's had a very good season. Phil Jones is the best player at the club.
We'll get to that in a minute. But Rooney dropping deep thing, I'm not too sure how I feel about that. It kind of pisses me off a bit when they talk about it, because I could see it when he gets older, then maybe he could start dropping deeper because he can't do a job up front or whatever. You know, he's better off as a distributor. But I think at this stage in his career, he's a striker. He was bought back when he was playing for Everton and he looked like this fantastic prospect. He's not living up to that, and he's not good enough for the moment to be playing up front for that team.
I think it might be a bit of an experiment with Ferguson to play him in the midfield to see if he can keep him for next season.
I'd like that. I'd like to give him a Totti role, if you will. A kind of like...
The strikers?
Yeah, like not an attacking midfielder, but like a... You know, because
he... Sibierski.
Oh, no. Not Sibierski.
I don't play up front, but I don't play in the midfield. I kind of play...
You shouldn't fucking play at all, you tit.
There's that great...
I sit in the bench, yeah.
There's true. A spot that he could, like... Rooney could be behind the striker, whether it be Ronaldo, Van Persie, or Falcao, or Stalker, or Lewandowski, or whoever it may be next season, where he sits behind him, but also goes drifts out to the right and to the left, instead of going back in the centre midfield, but drifts out wide, and then pulls defenders like to the side, because Van Persie's great at finding space, as it is, and if they do buy another striker, I'm sure it'd be good to find space anyway.
Yeah.
Hernandez,
I mean, he's just a low score. Like,
did the Robin Van Persie 20 jersey hurt you? How did that feel seeing that? Probably wasn't that nice. You know, the 20 for the league Champions titles. And...
Yeah, well, look, shut up.
No, but it's
come on. And the annoying thing is that the next game is Arsenal United this weekend at the Emirates, and we're going to form a card of honour.
Yeah.
He's going to be there.
Oh, yeah.
One season after leaving, he comes back with a title, and Nasri left and won the title off last season.
Did you see Evra's lovely prop?
The hand?
That someone threw him the. Plastic.
I didn't see it, I heard about it.
Yeah, plastic hand. I thought it was very funny. I like that kind of thing. And there was Liverpool fans starting to get upset about it. I was like, shut the fuck up. You know, getting annoyed about that. Like, it's funny. We love seeing stuff like that. It's like, you know, Richard Keys aside. It's what we love. Bit of fun, bit of banter.
Moving on anyway. George, actually, before we move on, do you think Van Persie's going to win Player of the Year?
No, I don't.
I mean,
the shortest was
announced. And...
Yeah, I'd be very surprised if he won, to be honest.
Who's he going?
Firstly, I think it's outrageous that Michu's not in it. I think there's an argument that he could be in instead of Carrick and both of the Chelsea players, particularly Hazard.
I mean, Carrick's had a very good season, though.
Yeah, I know. Does he have a better season than Michu?
Well, I mean, in a way,
I know
in
a different role, but I don't think he has
had
a better.
He could argue that he's had an equally good season because. He's been consistently good for Man United all season, and if he wasn't there, I'd say there's a good argument that they wouldn't win the league.
Yeah, okay, well, fair point. I see where you're coming from.
You have to think.
I think the two Chelsea lads in there is questionable.
I think Juan Mata, but Eden Hazard, I wouldn't have him in there. No. He had a great start to the season.
That was it.
And then he's kind of coasted through that, and he's been good.
Yeah, I think it's outrageous.
We could score.
I think it's outrageous that Michu's not in there. I saw a lot of people on Twitter.
No, I do think Michu should be in it.
Yeah.
But it is voted for by the fellow professionals. So
yeah, I know. Maybe. That's worse though. I think you know. I know Hazard is difficult to play against, but
that's maybe one of the reasons to like some Mata and Hazard get in there. It's because they kind of think to themselves, who was really good against me this season? Oh, Hazard, even though he might have scored.
Yeah.
And they think, oh, maybe Mata.
There was good shouts as well for Zabaleta.
Zabaleta, brilliant season.
Yeah, I think he's had an absolutely excellent. A few people were saying Baines and Vertonghen. I wouldn't have either of them in the top six.
No.
You have to remember it's the top six. Yeah. Baines has had a good season, but...
Well, see, obviously the attackers are always going to be favourites.
Vertonghen's a weird show. I don't think he's been that good.
He's been good.
But I don't think he's deserved a PFA nomination.
No. You could argue that he's probably been one of the better centre-backs this season.
Mm. Funny then, you think, is it only defenders voting for this then? Because strikers, not defenders.
Just simple maths, there's more defenders in the league than there are strikers. People are going to be thinking, who played well against me? Gareth Bale destroyed the four of us in defence. Whereas if there's one good defender, there's one striker, and he thinks, defender
was good. I think Bale's going to win it.
You think Bale's going to win
it? Yeah.
A young player then, because he's in for a young player as well. Along with Welbeck, I don't want Wilshire. How is Welbeck in there? Wilshire's played about 7 games this season. Welbeck scored 1 goal all season, I think, in the league. I don't understand that. I don't know who the other players you're going to argue that could be in there, but Benteke's in there. He's had a wonderful season. You compare it to Welbeck, you're like, what is Welbeck doing in there?
Yeah.
It's just insane. You could even argue some of the Aston Villa players who played all season who haven't been good or bad at Welbeck. It's just, it's bizarre.
That's
mad. But if Bale's going to win...
I would even put in, I know I was a little bit biased in Liverpool-y, Sterling?
No, he hasn't been there long enough.
I suppose he didn't play enough games.
You know, he had a great start to the season in a way that some of the other players have had, like Michu to a certain extent had a great start to the season, but since the, I mean it's great for most of the season, but since the Carling Cup final he's been a bit
they voted for this in February, I think.
So it's not even
I just think it's a shame that Michu's not in there.
I think it's a shame as well. I do understand Fellaini as well, another player who's had a great season. Shane McGoldman, I know it's only recently he's been playing great, but he's still had a relatively good season.
I wouldn't put either of them in the top six young players in the league. Well, maybe young. Will Fellaini qualify?
No, Fellaini wouldn't. Coleman,
he's 23.
Yeah, 23 is 23. Ronaldo won at 23, I think, when he won that.
I hope Bale doesn't win them both. I don't think he should be allowed to win both.
No, I don't think so either. If you win the senior player, you
should
be allowed to win the young player, because young players should be going to a young player then, because if you're a senior player...
As in like a breakthrough player, almost. Or not even a breakthrough player, but, you know, someone who has come along and
if you're winning the full player of the season, then that's recognition enough.
Exactly.
That shows
people know you're young anyway.
Yeah,
you don't need to be called young player of the year.
I don't think you should be that, because Ronaldo won both of them together and Andy Gray won both of them together.
Yeah, he is the only British player, isn't he?
Andy Gray.
Oh no, wait, no, Ronaldo did. Ronaldo, no, Andy Gray is the only one.
Ronaldo did. He won in the same season.
Oh, okay.
When he was 23, yeah, he definitely won both of them together.
Yeah. I'm as good as Ronaldo. Richard.
He must have loved that old Ronaldo. Right, we move on then. Spurs, we talked about Bale, Man City. Spurs beating 3-1. Brilliant performance.
What
Bale.
A cracking game.
Yeah. There was actually, they scored in less time than there was at a time at the end of the Chelsea-Liverpool game.
Oh, there you are. There's a stat. As I said,
it was a great end of the game, though.
It was a real... masterclass from Bale though as well, wasn't it? That ball for Dempsey.
It was incredible.
Nobody else saw it. And you just see it on the foot. And you don't see that kind of stuff.
I actually think there was two from that, because I think Huddleston's ball to... Who else scored?
Defoe.
Huddleston's ball to Bale for the dink. For Bale's dink.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, I think...
that kind of split the whole defence open.
It was a lovely ball. And
although I do think that was... Not more so, but I do think if a player...
Bale's was better.
No, sorry, if it wasn't Bale running through, then he may not have got to it. Basically, it's just Bale's sheer speed to get in and to flick it over.
Mm.
If it hadn't been somebody else, although that thought he was full of pace anyway.
I love when you see a goal like that, though, like that Huddleston ball. It's a midfielder doing his job properly and an attacking player finishing with a dink. You love that. It's like, do it properly. You see so often that, like, you know, players don't get enough of that kind of... That was something Liverpool used to have all the time with Michael Owen and with, like, McAllister. He would just slot this fantastic through ball through, and it would be a nice little dink finish. I love that.
You love the little dink.
Yeah. But
I was only thinking yesterday, do you think Charlie Adam was bought to replace Gary McAllister?
Oh, God. I hope not. That's an insult to the great McAllister name.
Absolutely wonderful win for Spurs.
Yeah.
I mean, to go and to beat Man City. And I know we didn't actually mention it, but the Chelsea-Liverpool game, it's a terrible result for Chelsea to concede so early on the race for the top four.
Mm.
But what a win for, like, to beat the champions.
Well, yeah.
Not anymore.
No.
They were at the time.
Yeah,
they were. And it was a great win for Spurs, I mean, to do that.
Villas-Boas got the subs dead right, didn't he? At the right time, like,
because they were lacking, they were terrible in the first half.
Spurs,
the game plan just didn't seem to be working, yeah.
They were really bad in the first half. And Parker looked tired.
Parker's looked tired all season.
Yeah, but I mean, he's probably justified. He runs at like mad for 60 minutes, then half an hour he starts to get tired. But Huddleston on at that time, fresh pair of legs, kicked out wrongly when he shouldn't have.
We're in the middle of a road here.
kicked out at Yaya Toure, actually, which was silly. Okoto could have been sent off as well for an outrageous tackle. He was looking to stay on the pitch. But the substitutions he made, like Holtby coming on, Huddleston coming on, Defoe coming on, they were just made at the right times, and like they did change the game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Huddleston was involved in Bale's goal. Defoe,
what a goal!
Excellent call.
Just to finish it. I don't know why the defender
Company.
Company was too really
let
long.
Him in. Let him cut in. It's like
That's the
I wouldn't have been doing that last season.
Like that's the one thing I would be careful with Defoe.
Cutting in, placing a ball.
I'm happy to see Defoe though, because I said a week or two back that I'd much rather see him in there than Adebayor. And Adebayor just didn't look up to it. He looked like he only likes to be Arsenal, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Like, absolute. I won't even start cursing about him. It'll just keep going on. But he's that kind of player.
Gotta play well, lads. We don't have as much time as we usually do. QPR lost to Stoke, and they play Reading this weekend. The loser of that goes down. We'll be relegated. Confirmed.
Ahead of the other, basically. Yeah. Both of them will
so
go
who
down.
Who get relegated first? Yeah. If he scored on goals to beat the band.
Your man, Clint Hill, in top form again.
Yeah, gave away a penalty. Turned, that was a crouch that he could put
in. Yeah. How could you mistake Crouch for any other player?
True. Great penalty from Walters, but unfortunately was disallowed.
Because Jay Boatride was acting the arsehole, standing away inside
the box. Was he booked for that? Because he was pretty much standing in the middle of the box.
You'd wonder why he didn't just say, here, Boatride, just get out of there.
Or
let him take the penalty.
Or the
he stepped in as he was running up. Like, I know, like, it wasn't like... He obviously took two big, massive, stupid steps in.
I think you said it when we were watching the replay earlier, that... The referee should have let the goal go. Because it didn't affect Walters and he scored.
Yeah, but you can't. It's the rule. You can't.
But it's like an advantage though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, in a way, but you still can't. It's in the rule that he has to pull that back.
Okay,
maybe
the rule should be changed to stop arseholes getting away. Like, that's supporting arseholism.
And we don't at the club.
Kick arseholism out of football.
We don't support arseholes.
Two class panels from Walters though. Like, the second one was... Yeah. First one looked better, but
first
the second one was
the
equally
first
as
one,
class.
A bit like Lewandowski. If you smash a penalty down the middle, nobody's going to save it.
Well,
yeah.
I mean...
And Jamie Carragher actually... Or not Jamie Carragher, Jamie Redknapp.
I was worrying there. Who let Jamie Carragher near a pedo?
Jamie Carragher's good at penalties. He takes a lot of penalties for Liverpool. In penalty shootouts. I mean, he never takes them in open play. But
yeah.
The FA Cup finally did.
Yeah.
And he was quite good at them.
Still he took a penalty in his testimonial for Everton, didn't he?
You still wouldn't be confident, would you, having Jamie Carragher walk into a penalty.
He did miss the last one in the World Cup. Knocked them out against Portugal.
Probably
2006.
Probably Portugal.
But yeah.
Which
anyway, Jamie Redknapp.
Just Jamie Redknapp said, made a point actually about, because they're talking about Lewandowski's penalty. He goes, that's the way to hit a penalty. He goes, none of this side footing it nonsense and trying to flick it into the corner and all this kind of stuff. If you hammer a penalty down the middle, it's going to go in most times. No keeper ever stays down the middle anyway.
Yeah, I don't know.
And the way Walter said it.
Yerzy Dudek. All right, he saved it with his feet.
But if you hit them hard and high,
yeah, like
Shearer, Hasselbank, they used to do it.
Oh, I love the Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank penno. Anytime you would hope for pennos in games, he'd be like, please get a penno. Honestly,
I think he got one when he was at Middlesbrough, towards the end of his career. They measured it like 86 kilometres an hour, nonsense like that.
Yeah.
And he just flew it.
I thought about that game, it was quite funny that, as we said about Clint Hill, Crouch tore Clint Hill apart. When does Crouch ever tear anyone apart? Like, football-wise. Not an insult. He's still a good with his feet. We all know that. But
he's got a good touch for a big man.
Oh, don't say that.
Yeah. Good touch for a big man.
Good touch for a big man.
Can I tell you, the own goal last week, so... But he didn't go down to the own goal, did
he? The best thing about this week was that ball hit the post and they got away with it. Until
he
decided to bring
him on now.
Disaster.
Doing his very best.
We still haven't gotten to the worst part of the week. We've had the bite, we've had all this racism and arseholism talk. Ben Haim started at left back ahead of Fabio. Imagine being Fabio and watching your brother lift the title at Man United and you've just been dropped
for a 34-year-old.
Fucking Ben Haim. That's outrageous.
Oh dear, if we move on before you.
Do you know what? I actually read something that for every point that QPR have gotten since what's his name? Samba has been there.
Ooh.
It's cost them 1.7 million.
Jeez. Why not? Would you spend 42 million on points to stay up? You know what I mean?
Harry Redknapp would spend 42 million on that.
Yeah. West Ham beat Wigan 2-0. So West Ham are safe. Wigan are right in it still. I don't know. Are Wigan going to go down? Is it that three? Wigan, QPR, Fred?
Yeah, everyone? I'm quite... Like... Because we kind of kept like half joking saying, sure, we're going to be grand. But it looks pretty bad for them.
Yeah.
They have Spurs now next week or on Saturday. Saturday or Sunday? Can't remember.
But
Spurs still have quite a lot to fight for and are definitely going to be going for the win.
Yeah.
They have Aaron Lennon back, which is
important.
Quite big.
Mm.
I
think
Gary Caldwell will probably play. He's got no pace.
Yeah, and Spurs have a habit of hammering Wigan when they play.
Was it 7-3 or something?
Was it like 9-1 or something?
Oh, maybe it was.
Martinez said that he dismissed the kind of cup being a distraction for Wigan, saying that if they play like they did in the last two or three games, the points will come. They've just been a bit unlucky.
But they don't have those games to, you know.
I know, but the one big problem Wigan has at the moment is they're not finishing chances. That Kone's been alright there. I don't think he's done enough, and I don't think DeSanto is up to the job. Maloney's come into it late. He's not going to score 10 the last few games, you know. They need someone to put away these chances, and that's what they're lacking at the moment.
It's always one of those questions I've had about Wigan is, you know, Martinez gets so much praise for doing a good job, but you know, is he doing a good job? Okay, he is. But
come
the FA Cup, well, no, but I mean, when you're consistently in the bottom five for four seasons or three seasons, you kind of start to think, like, you're like, well, but the progress just isn't there.
Yeah, but they don't have the... I know this is a silly argument. We won't get too much into it.
They don't have the money?
They don't have the budget that other people do, you know?
Just slightly changed. They don't have the budget.
The money, the wages...
Or the finances. The money, the wages, or the attraction.
Well, that's a good point. That a lot of other teams do. So I think he's doing it.
An attraction for Honduran players.
Anyway, Nolan scored. Wonder goal.
I thought you were going to move on. I was like, you can't.
He also got in trouble off the commentator for claiming the first goal.
Yeah, I was going to talk to you about this. You're not getting that one, son. He's pointing that it's the other guy's goal.
It's Robot Wars commentator and all.
Yeah.
He's going to send Hypnodisco.
I love Hypnodisco.
Because the commentator has that sort of power to just do whatever he wants in the middle of a football match.
Well, Robot Wars commentator does.
They ain't gonna mess with a Robot Wars commentator.
Those holes that you can fall into. They'd be great for football if they pop up every
now. It would be great if you're being an arsehole like Jay Botterill, just like, hey, you're
hitting on this, cut the legs off.
I'd just like to see Jay Botterill falling through the earth towards the magma centre.
Tell you what, though, it was weird. Nolan didn't do the chicken dance for his 100th goal.
It's probably for the best.
Well, I think he was too engulfed by his teammates, and in particular,
no, he had time to run.
Well,
he could have ran off chicken style, chicken run,
chicken run. Could have done a bit of stop motion chicken run. Yeah, that's
Andy,
true.
Andy Carroll did well in the setup. He's proven an important player towards.
Yeah,
the
it was
end
a nice
flick on
for Nolan's goal, but yeah, second goal.
Or it was a terrible overhead shot.
yeah, but I think either way,
No, I was joking.
Yeah, either way, it's an assist. Either way, he did manage to get a bicycle on it and got it in there. I think it was a really nice goal.
It was a very nice finish, yeah.
And you wouldn't see Carlton Cole doing that, would you?
Probably not.
Or Marouane Chamakh. Our loan players are way better than your loan players,
Sutherland's Everton. Sutherland with a great win. 1-0. Everton not going to get the top four now, it looks like. And Sessegnon with another Sessegnon type goal. The exact same goal he scored against Newcastle.
Yeah.
Kind of just ran and shot into the far bottom corner.
Yeah,
it's really odd. It's a good win because the Canio's come in and had a real instant impact on that team. Is that 3 wins out of 3, is it?
No, two.
Two and a draw, sorry.
Great impact, though.
Did you notice he didn't ruin his suit this week?
No.
And I think that's because
he was at home.
No.
Colin Murray would have been
pestering him about the suit.
Yeah.
Just like, I'll just keep the suit.
I don't know if you guys were watching highlights on Match of the Day. Were you?
No, I didn't see much of that.
Conor McManaman, Irish commentator on BBC. Fantastic. He sounds like great crack, I have to say. he was brilliant. He had a great mention of, I can't remember in what context it was, but he brought up the whole Canio fair play. I think it was when one of the goalkeepers took a knock for a few minutes. And there was a great like mention to his fair play. Remember, he didn't finish it. When Paul Gerrard
someone was on the ground, you caught it, so it was
an Everton DiCanio reference, and he had a few great, like, there was, you know, a few moments with DiCanio when they scored. McManaman told Everton to hold on to their hats and then at the back pass he started pissing himself laughing. He just went,
that was good, it was so good.
So often you'd hear them go, oh well, cheesy line or something like that. Instead he was just like, man, that's class.
Get him in for the big games.
That's broadcasting.
The back pass was hilarious.
Back pass was straight. Should have been a penal.
Hate hearing
that. Had ball by the keeper, wasn't it? Yeah. The back pass rule is strange, though. I don't think anybody actually understands. Like, he's not allowed to catch it, obviously.
Yeah.
Is he allowed to punch that away, though? No.
No.
No. So he your hands.
And he got booked for it as well.
Yeah.
He?
Yeah. I think it's right. So, I mean, but it was what eruption do you have, though?
Yeah, exactly. Like, he can't do anything.
He might as well.
He has to catch it. Because you so rarely see anyone actually scoring from those positions.
Because they just
hammer it.
Lee Dixon had a cracking own goal in a similar
I was just thinking, David Dixon took
and
one.
The best part is, who did he love? David Seaman. Hmm.
They never scored.
Master of being loved.
Actually, I remember Sean Maloney scored one. It was a Scottish Cup final or semi-final. And he didn't do what absolutely everybody else does and just lash it and hope.
He just
dinked it into the top corner. Because no one could get near.
Yeah, sure. Good point.
And I always think, like, well, it's the only thing that you can do.
Well, if we can get one late on in the season.
There you go.
I do remember on Shearer scoring against West Brom years ago. West Brom used to have the horrible yellow and green top. And they were sponsored by the Builders from Ireland, I think it was. And they were keeping Gary Megson, my manager, actually, at the time. And he absolutely just leathered the ball into the back of the net for 12 yards or something. It was probably less, 10 yards. Just smashed it by everybody. Just people were jumping out of the way of it.
We had an incident on when we used to play Sunday League similar to the back pass, except it was a slice. So I wonder, like, because he was facing the other way and he went to volley it and it went backwards.
Well, it's not a back pass then.
Yeah, and we got an indirect free kick given against us for it. It was an absolute outrageous decision. It may have been the same game, right? But we also had our left, I was right full at the time, so this left full back I was playing just must have been hungover or drinking or something the day before, caught the ball in his two hands for like a couple of seconds.
Is he set off?
And went, oh God, and dropped it. I don't know, he must have been on something. I have no idea what happened there. And then, do you think they'd give a pedo? No, ref didn't. Said, I didn't mean it. We got away with it. They felt bad for us. I think we were losing 4-0.
Oh, what a scam. I remember actually a couple of weeks ago, Valde saved one for Barca. It was, I don't think it was meant to be, but maybe it was, but somebody kind of backpassed it, and it was kind of a scramble in the box, and he touched it over, and they were kind of like, Isn't that an indirect free kick? Yeah, but it's like, he's like, he didn't catch it, but he punched it over. Instead. Yeah. They're like, isn't that an indirect free kick? And they didn't get it yet. They got a corner out of it, but it was really strange. Maybe the ref deemed that it wasn't actually a back pass. Anyway, quickly in other news, Kevin Davis might well be moving to Toronto.
Down to the Championship, yeah.
He might be moving on to Toronto.
That'd be good, wouldn't it?
Well, I think Ryan Nelson's managed Toronto, isn't he? He'd have to go.
Oh, yeah, he is.
Yeah, I think that's maybe
that'll be an argy-bargy kind of team, all right. Watch the elbows, eh? Elbows all around. And I'd say Kevin Davis likes syrup. I'd say he'll get stuck into that syrup.
Yeah.
I think Sam Allen should just snap up, get the Davis known combination.
Yeah, we were talking about this earlier.
Carroll's gonna leave, so
we were talking about this earlier. The amount of Bolton players, former Bolton players, he would have signed then.
Joey O'Brien's there, Vaz
there,
Jaskalainen.
There might even be more.
A couple of more, there definitely is.
Could well be more, Cleverson, actually, former Manchester United player, Cleverson's gone to.
And one of the greatest ever.
One of the greatest.
Which we didn't
mention. Former Manchester United, then Villa, then Luton, then, like, unregistered English team.
No, I think that's Gemma Jamba.
Oh, that was Gemma Jamba. No, I'm pretty. Yeah, no,
no,
you're
Gemma,
right.
Gemma,
sorry.
Cleverson, he's gone to Philadelphia Union in the MLS as well. So, you know, big move. He's 23.
It's been a while since he graced the Premier League with his shite, so yeah, I can probably figure that at this stage.
Cardiff, we'll just briefly mention them, and we know they got promoted, but there's been a lot of talk in the last week about.
Yeah, they were officially promoted now, yeah.
It's not actually Cardiff being promoted, and it's this other team that's being promoted because of the way they're imaged these days.
So technically, it's not the second Welsh team to get into the Premier League. It's even more impressive. It's the first Malaysian team to get into the Premier League.
But it just seems to be, as soon as they're promoted, there's so much coverage on how there is a disconnect between the fans.
Yeah. I think it's sad, because I think there's coverage because it's like, oh, finally, they've made it. And then it's like, yeah, but look in what way we've made it. Like, a lot of people have felt kind of selling your soul to get to the Premier League kind of thing. And it is sad, because, I mean, changing the colour of jersey is one of those things where it's like, don't do it. Why would you do that? Oh, because red's lucky for this culture.
It's better marketing.
Yeah, but that's outrageous, you know?
But then again, in a way, the fans kind of go, well, if it wasn't for that money, we might not be promoted.
True. Yeah. Well, that's the thing.
And now they're in the Premiership, and then it might well get relegated, but they're going to get 100 million or close to that for being in the Premiership now for a season. If they don't blow that money on crap players, then they're doing well.
Exactly.
Oh, no, it's possible that they will. Quickly mention that Portsmouth's point deduction looks like it's going to go through this season as well.
Yeah, it is.
So they won't have to worry about that next season. And
we're all happy about that. We don't want to see them start next year with another 11 or 10 point deduction.
It just seems to be the natural now. It's like, Portsmouth, 10 points.
Well, they can start fresh now, completely, you know.
This is the new the takeover from
they've
the
won the last two games, haven't they?
They've won it. They went on a good run, I mean, but they're always going to get relegated. Even if they had it pulled out there, they would have got that point deduction. So.
Exactly.
It's just a horrible situation that they're in, but it's kind of their own fault. It's Harry Redknapp's fault, one or the other. Hull could be promoted from the Championship. They win this weekend as well.
That'll be interesting to see.
Steve Bruce back in the Championship. Robbie Brady and David Moyle are there. Irish players, so that's great.
Elderly lesbian lookalike Steve Bruce. A bit like driving Miss... I think we said this before. It looks a bit like driving Miss Daisy. Like a Halloween costume of driving Miss Daisy.
This is very committed to Halloween.
All year round.
It's Halloween all year round in the Bruce household.
He's got a bad nose, Steve Bruce.
He does. It's getting worse, I think.
Probably the worst nose I've ever seen.
I think it's getting worse as well. It seems to be caving in on itself or something.
We'll talk about the worst nose ever some other time. Or never.
Well, just before we leave England, we never got to talk about the interview with the horse puncher.
I didn't see it.
Oh, you have to see it. It's the funniest interview I've ever seen.
That sounded so queer.
It's the best interview I've ever seen in my life, right? The man is like 42 or 43 or something like that, right? They showed a video of him punching the horse.
I heard the fox bits.
The what, sorry?
The bit about him having a fox.
Basically, I'll explain it. Just for those who haven't heard it. He got tackled by the police in the video. And then you see it cuts to him in the house. He's like, you know, petting two dogs. So it starts off, I like animals, you know, don't judge me.
Did he direct this video himself?
Yeah, it was a Sky interview. Sky interview. And he said he was scared to leave the house. And that he's been made a scapegoat. And I was like, no, you haven't. You may have punched a scapegoat or something, but you're like...
I get it.
Thank you. But he started coming up with reasons why, he loves animals. Like, you know, sometimes a fox would come into the garden and I'd feed it a little bit. So I like animals.
I'd feed it some horse.
Yeah, try and get it close, so I can dig it right in the head.
Feed it into a false sense of security.
He said he had the scarf over his face, like covering his face, because... it was like, why did you have the scarf up? And he opened his mouth and went, my filling fell out. And it was really cold. And the cold was hurting my tooth. So I put the scarf over my face to stop it.
Oh, dear.
And at the end, he talked about how he's worried that, you know, these animal activist groups are, you know, calling for his head. And also, like, which is ironic, really, because quite mean. And at the end, he talked a little bit about how he hoped, you know, that this wouldn't affect him getting a job. Don't do the interview. No one saw your face. You had a scarf over it. Moron. And it ended with that he was really sorry to the club. He was really sorry to his family. Not sorry to the horse who he punched. Never said it. Moron.
Well, that's the way the interview ended. That's the way the podcast is going to end as well. If you want to get in touch, the12thmanpodcast@hotmail.com or @12thmanpodcast on the Twitter. If you go on the Facebook page, just Google the 12th Man Podcast. Get on there. I've sent some lovely videos of Lars Ricken scoring lobs in the Champions League final and stuff like that. Thank you, lads. Thank you, Declan Maron.
Thank you. Just a little bit on the Facebook update. We've posted a bit of Steve Keane.
How's he getting on, actually?
We did have a comment on it. I have it here. It's basically Steve Keane, the card of Steve Keane versus a Yu-Gi-Oh card, Cyber Shark. Now, we'd like you to get involved and tell us what you think, who would win, basically. You can see their stats at the end there. Steve Keane has, like, you know...
Plus five
on tackles and then... head and blah.
Plus five just on his head.
But Cybershark's statistics, it has 2,100 in the attack and the defense of 2,000. So get involved. The comments so far, we have Cormac O'Connor saying, depends whether the fight takes place. If it's on land, Steve would kick the shark's ass, but in water, the shark would have the upper hand.
It's a good point.
Sharks will have
It's a good point. Yeah, that's true. Shark would have the upper fin.
Yeah, but it would have big sharp teeth to eat Steve Keane's big bald head.
It does kind of look like Steve Keane, just in that photo, it kind of looks like he may be underwater.
He's sinking.
He has two cement.
Well, there you go. The fight is taking place underwater.
The Vikings have slowly killed them off.
I was wondering why I hadn't heard from him for a while.
The fight is taking place in water, so it seems that he's... shark might win, but get on there, have
get
a comment.
Get on there, get on the Facebook page. Look, lads,
he's considerably bigger than the shark as well. Just want
to, he's pudgy, alright. So,
it's been a great, great podcast.
Anyway, thank you.
Thank you, Declan Maron.
Thank you, and goodbye.
Thank you. Goodbye for myself. See you next week.
Can we end the podcast though with the Fraser scrambled egg song?
Yes.
Hey baby, I hear the blues are calling, toss salads and scram.
Who read that Fraser tried to kill himself in one episode of Cheers?
But I don't know what to do with those tossed salads and scrambled eggs. They're calling again. Scrambled eggs all over my face.
Ronnie Johnson is class. Or your big caterpillar-like coat if you're Arsene Wenger.
Wrigley. Nope.
I'd love to see him try and run in that. It'd just be like... You don't just gotta stay like straight up. It looked like he's on stilts.
I'm
falling.
That's cool. Yeah, I'd like to actually see if he could get back up. If he fell down, if he fell over.
That's why Steve Ball's there.
Just to hold him up.
Owls.
We are the villa, we are the champions. You hear that song?
No.
Oh.
Of course you haven't. It's never happened.
No, it is. Hold on. Top comment. This is terrible.
We play this later.
Everybody stands around. Just... Not really one that the crowd could sing along with, is
yeah.
it? Ronnie Johnson, he's so class.
You ready?
I'm clearly singing.